This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Finally, a tire that lets you go green and save green. Now through April 30th, buy four select fuel-efficient Bridgestone Ecopia or Eco product tires, and you could receive a $70 American Express reward card by mail. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. Terms and conditions apply to American Express reward cards. Certain limitations apply, including monthly fee of $2 beginning in month 7 after activation. Visit BridgestoneTire.com/promotion for complete terms and cardholder agreement. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
First of all, in the news on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat now trading at 692, down 5.5. July wheat trading at 690.25, down 5.25. May corn trading at 637, down 1.5. July corn trading at 611.25, down 2.75. May soybeans trading at 1422.75, up 3. July beans trading at 1360, up 1.5. On the Chicago Board of Trade Tuesday, May wheat ended the day at 697.5, down 4.75. July wheat ended at 695.5, down 7. September wheat ended at 703, down 7.25. May corn ended the day at 638.5, down 7.25. July corn ended at 614, down 9.5. September corn, 542.5, down 13.5. May soybeans yesterday ended at 1419.75, up 2.5. July beans, 1358.5, down 5.75. August beans ended at 1298.75, down 10.75. May soybean meal yesterday ended at 411.70, up 17. July meal, 397.90, down 2, and August meal, 372.40, down 34. May soybean oil yesterday ended at 48.57, down a nickel. July oil, 48.41, down 18. August oil, 48.27, down 23. May oats yesterday ended at 397, down 3.5. July oats ended at 390.25, down 2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed but mostly lower on Tuesday afternoon. Corn futures weakened due to a warmer and drier extended weather forecast for the Corn Belt. Traders give farmers a chance to make some progress with corn planting over the next 7 to 10 days. Soybean futures were given a boost from the sale of 392,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China for the 2013-2014 crop year. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 8 cents lower at 633 to 650, while soybean bids ended mixed at 1409 to 1430. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 cents lower at 633 to 650, while soybean bids were down 5 to 7 cents at 1419 to 1439. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 8 to 9 cents at 623 to 663. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents higher at 1435 to 1460, and the wheat bids dropped 4 cents on Tuesday at 693 to 706. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 4 cents higher. It's 14.63 to 14.68. Basis ended 5 to 10 cents stronger, range from 105 to 110 over July. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $1.78 per ton on Tuesday to range from 426.70 to 436.70. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 10 to 12 cents at 654 to 657, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 40 to 45 over July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 10 cents lower at 645 to 650. Basis dropped 3 cents, range from 7 to 12 over the May. Soybeans were up 5 to 8 cents at 14.55 to 14.65, with basis 2 to 5 cents stronger, ranging from 35 to 45 over the May. And new crop wheat bids dropped 7 at 6.96 to 6.98, with basis ending steady, ranging from 1 to 3 over July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 cents lower at 6.49 to 6.50. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 13 cents with quotations at 14.74 to 14.75. Soft red winter wheat down 4 at 7.22 to 7.23. And the Milo also dropped 4 cents on Tuesday at 6.26 to 6.27. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions range from 486 up to 503. For new crop soybeans, those bids range from 1158 to 1176. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 490 up to 504. New crop soybean bids 1159 to 1178. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 491 up to 508. New crop soybean bids 1166 to 1180. And the new crop wheat in southern Illinois range from 666 up to 694. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. May hogs ended at 87.82, up a quarter. June hogs, 89.57, up 12. July hogs, 90.02, up 40. April cattle yesterday ended at 126.20, up 22. June cattle, 120.82, unchanged. August cattle, 121.62, up 22. April feeder cattle yesterday, 133.75, up 12. May feeders, 139.60, up a dollar. August feeders, 148.12, up 215. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 7 cents higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 68 to 74.32, with a weighted average carcass price of 73.59. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds are 40 to 45. The 4 to 5 weights, 43 to 47. The 5 to 550 weights, 47 to 48. And 550 and up were 49 to 50, with a few up to 52. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded steady, with moderate demand and offerings ranging in price from $48 to $53. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,563 head. From the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, opening report for April 23rd, they had receipts of 367 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold steady to 50 cents lower, and slaughter Holstein steers sold 50 cents higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they're bringing 122 to 126. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 112 to 116. Choice slaughter heifers, 123 to 125. And in the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dress basis traded at $196. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 481 loads. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $86.41, which was 97 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $191.41, which was 63 cents higher, and select carcasses were $183.78, which was 11 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 123,000, which compared to 122,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 425,000, which compared to 419,000 last week and 414,000 a year ago. Now from the Arthur Sale Barn weekly hay report for April 22nd, they had receipts of 2,207 bales. Starting with the alfalfa premium quality small squares, they were bringing $6 up to $9.25. Large squares were bringing $90 to $100. Good quality small squares sold from $5 to $5.75, with the large squares at $77.50 to $87.50, and the large rounds, 5x5s, were bringing $105 to $110. Alfalfa orchard grass premium quality small squares traded from $6.50 to $7.75. Orchard grass premium quality small squares sold from $7 to $7.50. Mixed grass good quality small squares traded from $5 to $6.75, and the large rounds at $70. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for butter, 173.5, down 3.5. For block cheese, 186.5, down 1.5. For barrel cheese, 175.75, down 3/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, $17.59, 3 cents below Monday's close. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April and May, $6.32. Corn delivered to Scottville for April and May, $6.28. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.56, and for May, $14.44. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.87. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.32, corn at Scottville, $6.28, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.56, wheat at Scottville, $6.87. That's all for a part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday. Time now for a check of Color Radar weather. And right now in the Weather Center, Color Radar is showing a line of showers at this point. Pretty much east of a line from Effingham to Salem, continuing to move to the east. But more spotty showers are showing up north and west of a line from Godfrey to Decatur, moving slowly to the southeast. Our local weather forecast for today in just a moment. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
If you're going to challenge the status quo, you don't do so timidly. You've got to dig a little deeper and aim a little higher. Introducing FS Envision Seed Corn, engineered with genetic muscle to outperform expectations. We're the challenger brand, but make no mistake, we're here to unseed the top seed. See your local FS member company or visit fsenvision.com. Powered by Green Plan Solutions.
Our local weather forecast for today calls for cloudy skies, a slight chance of a shower, high temperatures today in the low 50s, northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, clear skies tonight, low temperatures in the upper 30s, for tomorrow Thursday, sunny skies, highs in the mid 50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy and warmer, a slight chance of rain Friday, low temperatures in the upper 40s, highs in the upper 60s. Overnight, WSMI weather watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 0.6 inch of rain, 0.8 inch recorded by Rich Henry of Staunton, 0.6 inch here at the Weather Center overnight. Right now, north winds at 9 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, cloudy skies, 39 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Hawkeye Steel, located at exit 44 off Interstate 55 at Mount Olive in White City, is now open Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. Visit them about metal sidings for roofs, sidewall, and interior liners, miscellaneous surplus items such as shelving, air compressors, and more. They also are a steel warehouse for angles, channels, flats, pipe, tubing, and more. Come see their portable cattle sheds. They can custom make livestock buildings to your specifications. Call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show this morning brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Last week, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network talked to Brad Grotevent of the Madison County Farm Service Agency office, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Last week, we stopped in at the Madison County FSA office. Brad Grotevent joined us as we looked at the field conditions and an update from his county.
Brad, as we talk on the 19th of April, it's so ironic that today, in fact, you're standing here at your counter looking at a application for assistance on the ECP program, actually that pertains to last year's drought.
That's correct. It's kind of ironic or kind of weird that we're talking about it here after we just received 3 inches in the last day or so, and we're working on a drought application from 2012. So as you can see, we're always dealing with different types of disasters, and just like farming, you know, the weather is always a challenge and always different, always changing.
You are part of a local farm family as well, so you're very close to the situation. How much work was done out in the field before the rain started coming in?
Yeah, we were pretty fortunate where our farm's at. We were able to get out and get a lot of anhydrous put on and worked some ground down, and things were working pretty good, actually. And a lot of the area in Madison County was the same way. So everybody was getting a pretty good jump on it before the rains came.
You also noted, though, that nearby Bond County, for example, maybe not as much work done, so they're just a little behind where you guys are in this county.
Yeah, I've been kind of fortunate to be doing some training over there in Greenville and Bond County area, and noticed that, you know, they just didn't get as much done before the rains like we had done here in Madison. But I think it's just, you know, it was laying a little wetter over there and they weren't able to get everywhere like we were able to. So we feel like pretty fortunate we were a little ahead of the game, but we may all be back in the same boat here pretty soon. So
yeah, it's pretty amazing. How do you guys, is there any way to prepare for what's coming, or you have to just kind of wait and be prepared when the farmers have issues that you can't address?
Yeah, we're going to see what happens here with the weather, and that's the big concern. And I know, you know, there might be some disaster declarations that'll come announced and come for us, and we'll have to just see what programs are available at the time. So we're kind of waiting and seeing and just kind of sitting back, and hopefully the weather straightens out and we won't have to worry about it.
What about the bigger picture? We wait for a five-year farm bill, and how do you prepare for that with your office and with preparation?
Yeah, it's kind of a touchy subject. We're really unsure, just like all of the listeners out there are. Luckily, we got the one-year extension, and we're able to continue what we've been used to for the last 5 years, and we're working through that. And we're about a fourth of the way signed up here in Madison County and working hard to get the deadline met before the guys get busy in the field again. So looking forward to the five-year farm bill. They say they're working on it, and they're going to get something completed here soon. So we're just as anxious as the farmers are out in the field. So
you do have a few producers that still need to come in prior to this planting season?
Yeah, that's correct. We have, you know, we got a pretty good start on it, but we need a lot more signatures and people to come in and sign up to get it completed for the 2013 DCP and acre years.
That was Rita Frazier of the Farm Bureau Radio Network talking to Brad Grotevent of the Madison County Farm Service Agency office. Due to the unusually cold and wet weather this spring, there have been reports of higher than normal calf losses from producers across the upper Midwest. Dar Geis is president of the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association.
This weather's kind of against us. I know that the guys in western Minnesota are really having troubles, and it's severe. I think you're looking at a 15% loss right now, and I think in areas that'll be higher than that, and areas will be less than that. You know, guys that normally come in with a 95% calf crop, I think they're looking at about a 85%, and the guys at 90% are looking at 80%. I think it's going to be 5 to 10% more than what we've expected.
Geis says beef producers figure about a $1,000 loss for each calf that dies. Producers may be eligible to claim those losses through the Livestock Indemnity Program. which is expected to be available once a new farm bill is passed. Cattlemen's groups across the country are stressing to members of Congress the importance of passing a new farm bill and to take action to ensure that livestock losses are eligible retroactively. There seems to be a chill on the cattle markets, both literally and figuratively. Markets remain hunkered down due to the weather and other impacts. The unrelenting cold, wet spring continues to have a variety of impacts on both the supply and demand sides of the cattle and beef markets. Domestic beef demand is stagnant and certainly seems to be lacking the seasonal push that usually accompanies warm weather. Choice boxed beef cutout has been hovering near the $190 per hundredweight range with little sense of direction over the past 3 weeks. The choice select spread has widened seasonally, but is the result of weaker select values rather than strength in choice values. International demand for U.S. beef has also weakened. There is growing evidence that extended cold weather has increased beef cow liquidation. Total beef cow slaughter has been up 11.1% the last 4 weeks after declining earlier in the year. The latest cattle on feed report also suggests weather impacts on feeder markets. Unexpectedly large March feedlot placements were largely concentrated in Texas and Kansas. The Kansas placements were mostly heavyweight feeders from winter backgrounding programs. In contrast, the Texas placements were spread across lightweight to heavier feeder cattle and were likely partly the result of drought-induced sales. The cattle on feed numbers may also suggest implications for the broader cow herd. The number of heifers on feed has fallen sharply since the middle of last year. The April 1st heifer on feed inventory was down 7.6% year over year. However, this value is less of a decrease than the January 1st heifer on feed total, which was down 9.5% from the previous year. Japan recently changed a rule that will allow the importing of United States beef from cattle less than 30 months old. Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation recently talked to Greg Haynes, Assistant Vice President for International Marketing for the Federation, and got his reaction.
Haynes recently attended FoodX Japan, Asia's largest food trade show and one of the world's most important venues for exhibiting U.S. beef.
Definitely the mood at FoodX was one of excitement. You had the buyers there who have been really tracking this whole issue over the years, and so this really gives them the chance now to expand what they're doing. But you also saw a lot of excitement from the buyers who really hadn't been able to use U.S. beef and probably aren't really all that familiar with it now. But hearing what was going on in the media and seeing the excitement from the other traders and the other buyers, their excitement really started to grow. And so you see a lot of potential now with these companies that really haven't used U.S. beef over the last 10 years. One of the key areas I think we're going to see a lot of growth in is now the regional food service and retail chains. You know, in the past, the limited supply that has come in has really been used up more by the national retailers and some of the national food service chains. Well, now that's going to be able to get out into these other areas.
Haynes noted that the higher cattle age limit will also allow more high-quality, well-marbled product to be exported to Japan to compete with the domestic Wagyu.
That's what's so exciting about this, especially with getting more prime beef in there. The Wagyu, as you know, is very high and very marbled, but very, very expensive. The U.S. prime, you've got that good marbling, you've got the corn-fed flavor, but you've got it at a much more accessible price point. So that's really going to entice a lot of these high-end restaurants to shift over. And I think you'll even see this at some of the other newer restaurants and kind of concept restaurants as they try to really provide high-quality, top-tier products at a reasonable price to their consumers.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
6:32 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. As we close in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat trading at 6.93 1/4, down 4 1/4. July wheat trading at 6.91 1/4, down 4 1/4. May corn trading at 6.37 1/2, down a penny. July corn trading at 6.11 3/4, down 2 1/4. May soybeans trading at 14.24 3/4, up a nickel. July beans trading at 13.61 3/4, up 3 1/4. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.